Pastor David's not here with us because he's gone off to another church to speak this morning. His sister runs a church in Carlisle, and today is their special day for missions, where they gather their pledges, their promises for the coming year. So they've asked him to go and speak for that. And he knows a little bit about that because of the great work that you all do. So he's gone to do that. And so Bethwyn's going to share. As she comes, let's sing happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Thank you, Al. Thank you so much. Just really love and appreciate you all. I just really am sensing in the life of Real Life Church that there is a shift. There is, in the spirit, there is things happening within our church community. And the sons of Issachar said to be aware of the times and the seasons. And so this morning, what I want to do is I want to really encourage you to, in this season, to lean in and to cooperate with what the Holy Spirit is doing here at Real Life Church. And sometimes we have a sense of that something is shifting, is moving. Often it's likened to wind. And what we want to do is we want to cooperate with the wind of the Spirit. We want to cooperate and say, Lord, whatever you're doing, because God is always working and we know this, but he actually says, lean in and be aware and ask, what's happening here? What's shifting? What's changing? And can I encourage you to not be an observer of this and say, oh, it's good, but to actually be a participator, yeah? And just to really run with what the heart of the Father and the Spirit of God is doing here at Real Life Church. And I'm believing for souls, and more souls. Amen? Well, this morning I've called my message Salt and Light. And I'd just like us to pray and commit it to the Lord. Father, I just pray that inside every person in this room that there would be a very personal connection to your Holy Spirit speaking into people's lives, into people's hearts. That, Father God, that as I speak, that the Holy Spirit will be pinpointing areas personally for people to get involved in, to get activated in. And Lord, we just commit everything to you this morning in Jesus' name. Well, I wanted to share with you, because it's just worked out beautifully, there's always a plan B, isn't there? And God's never surprised by plan Bs. And so today I wasn't expecting to speak, but here we are. And so I want to talk to you about my recent adventure to Athens to see firsthand what our missionaries, Megan and Arastra Yazdani, are actually doing. Because seeing it on screen is great and hearing about it is wonderful. But when you actually go there, you get a much clearer picture of what is actually happening. And so I want to give a little bit of context because what I'm about to share, some of you might be very new to our church and you're just kind of starting to piece together what is our vision and our focus here. And so you will have already picked up from Adrian and Karina that at Real Life Church, we are incredibly missions-minded as a community of believers. And we support various missionary endeavours all around the world. And one of the missions that we support are a couple called Megan and Arastra Yazdani, who had a heart for the refugees that are arriving in Greece by the thousands. Some of them, most of them coming off boats, some of them sadly not even making it there. And let me assure you that Megan and Arastra are a very ordinary couple, and they happen to be my niece and my nephew. And 5 years ago, they launched a Christian charity called Helpers. And I want to start this morning by reading this powerful quote that sort of encapsulates the heart of why they find themselves in Athens. I was sent this week, no coincidence, because it's, for me, was very powerful. Many people will meet Jesus for the very first time through you and me before they ever step foot into a church. Shine bright, stay salty, and don't embarrass the family. Many people will meet Jesus, Daniel, for the very first time through you and me before they ever step foot into our church. Shine bright, stay salty, and don't embarrass the family. I love that bit. And as I got sent this quote this week, I reread it and I just kept reading it because it hit me that this describes so beautifully what our missionaries, and in particular today, Megan and Erastu, are doing in Athens as they minister to the thousands of displaced refugees who find themselves completely alone, largely forsaken and abandoned, in a completely foreign land. And these desperate people not only come from other countries, but also from different culture, from different faiths, from different languages. And Matthew 5:13-16 says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Doesn't say bash them over the head with preaching and the Bible. It says that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So after a very joyful reunion with my niece Megan and nephew Erastu and their two incredibly gorgeous children, Ella, who's six, and Ezra, who is three, at the Athens airport, on Wednesday, the 24th of January, we head to their home in the suburb of Anaglyphada. Say that to the person next to you, Anaglyphada. When I arrived, they were right in the middle of working and preparing to go on a food run to the refugee camp where they minister. That was about an hour and a half out of Athens. With them on this food run, they were taking 90 bags that they had prepared to take. Inside of these bags was the following items. This is very important. one bag of rice, one large bottle of cooking oil, which the refugees treated like gold oil, one can of lentils, one can of chickpeas, a cake of soap, and a large bag of potato chips for the children. And each family, if they got there in time, would receive a bag. They started with about, when they first went to Athens, about 10, then it went to 20. But with all of the help that they've received from our church and others, they have now been able to hand out 90 bags of food. Bearing in mind that some of the families within that refugee camp have 9, 10 children. That's not unusual. And so they are desperate people. Now, the cost of this single food run is about 1,000 Australian dollars for one run, yeah, of 90 bags. Now, a very large part of what they do is Erastu spends a large amount of his time trying to secure the cheapest, the best priced items on these essential groceries so that they can spread as far as they can possibly make them. Because if something is on special, then he will grab 25 there and 25 there. So while I was there, oil was on special, and they have this thing in Greece called Wolt. And Wolt is a free delivery service. And so you can get coffee delivered, you can get croissants delivered, you can get groceries delivered. And so I felt when I was in their home, like the door was, people were always knocking at the door. And they just go, oh, it's Wolt. And next thing you know, in come 25 bottles of oil. And they got them on special, and then they get some over here, and that's how they kind of worked it so that they could maximise what they could take in. And why I specifically read out that what was in those bags was because it actually took them a long time, bearing in mind that while Erastu can speak some Farsi, Megan can only speak English. And so it took them quite a lot of time through building relationships to work out what was the most important item for the needs of these people groups so that they could give them the foods that they were used to cooking with and what would stretch the furthest. Yeah? Rice being, once again, another very precious commodity, because you can appreciate with a family with 9, 10 kids in that that's huge to be able to use the oil and the rice to make it grow. So we head out at about 10:30 on a Thursday morning in the van that we have helped them purchase from their ministry called Helpers. And that particular day, we have Ella and Ezra with us in the van because Ella is not well, and normally she would be at school. And we have to always be very careful of their safety, because it's widely known that young children get taken in Greece. They get kidnapped. And so Megan and Erastu are highly vigilant in keeping their little ones protected and safe. And if possible, they try not to take them, but sometimes they have no choice. So can we show photo number one, please, Ernest? So this first photo is us arriving at a nearby, it's a little sort of, it's not really a park, it's just an area that is up the road from the refugee camp. And as you can see, as we are arriving, There's already, the word's got out, and there's already people waiting. And due to the desperation of some families, they try and get in line twice to see if they are hoping that we don't recognise them again, and that they can receive another bag. And there was one funny moment where, unbeknownst to Megan and Erastu, there were actually twin brothers. And so one twin came, and then, you know, a little while later, the next, no, you can't have another bag. I'm a twin. So they both got bags for their families. And so it is at this point, we're arriving at the camp, people are there waiting, and I meet a girl called Fatima. She's from the refugee camp, and she has arrived, like she does every week, to help them as they distribute all of the food bags, because it has the potential, and has actually happened, where there's been a frenzy of people grabbing, and for safety's sake, they've actually had to hop in the car and drive off because it's actually been unsafe, because the people are so desperate. So Fatima, you can see her on the screen with me there, is from Afghanistan. Now, she speaks both Farsi and English. And it becomes clear very quickly that she's a natural leader and she loves to help Megan and Erastu. But what is also becomes incredibly clear from their immediate interaction is that she has formed a really close friendship with them, and they to her. So she's negotiating with the refugees, she's directing much of the food exchanges, and she knows the lay of the land, and she knows a lot of the refugees well, and has been in the camp herself with her mother for a long time. So as you can see from the photos, thanks Ernest, I was delighted to meet this beautiful lady because they'd spoken so much about her and what an incredible blessing that she'd been. And Megan had a wonderful opportunity when Fatima was particularly worried about her mother's health to be able to say, "Can I pray for you?" And she gladly received the prayer, even though she is of a different faith. And Fatima had shared that often when other families would throw out their food scraps, that she would come out from her little place in the camp and she would salvage through the scraps to see if there was anything that she and her mum, who was very unwell, could use because they were so hungry. Now, in honour of the Greek government, they provide one meal a day for every refugee family in every camp. And that may not sound a lot, but there's a lot of refugees, and Greece has been one of the only countries that have actually taken them in, which is why so many are there. And so sometimes the quality of the food is almost inedible. And so even though they have that one meal, it can be pretty limited. Now, I can share many incredibly touching stories, but because of time, I want to explain Fatima's background to you in particular. So she and her parents had fled from Afghanistan 2 years before and had walked across Turkey, I want to say that again, because I can't say I've walked across Turkey, in order to board a boat to get them to a Greek island, which is where they initially go, where they can be safe. And along the way, so there's Fatima and her mum and her dad. And along the way, Fatima's beloved father becomes gravely ill. and dies in Turkey, leaving her and her mum devastated, grief-stricken, heartbroken, as they try and collect themselves and continue on to their journey without him. They eventually get to Athens, go to an island, and from the island they are then put into a refugee camp. And they had been, when I met Fatima, they had been in that camp for over 2 years, waiting for another country such as the Netherlands or Germany to allow some more refugees from Greece to come into their country to hopefully start a new and better life. And so what happened was on that particular day, as I stood there with this beautiful, beautiful woman, Fatima, I saw Erastu very, very discreetly go to his wallet and give her 50 euros. And this was to pay for her and her mum to get to the Athens airport in the very early hours of the morning for their flight into Germany. Because even though they had been offered a new home in Germany, they had to find the money for the flight to get there, and they didn't have it. And so there was a lot of sadness because this was the last time that they were going to see, Megan and Erastu were going to see Fatima, and she wanted to express her gratitude to them. And she was saying goodbye to two Australian Christians who had been for her salt and light. What we found out, because they were not sure of her age, we thought she could have been around 28, 30. She was so mature, she was so capable. What we found out was she was actually only 19 years of age. And yet she carried the weight of grief and trauma of her mother, who also was ill, on her very young, strong shoulders. And so Fatima has been in contact with Megan and Erastu from Germany to say that things are improving for them. Amen. Praise the Lord, salt and light. Amen. So here we are, we're at the camp. We've given out 90 bags of essential food items and we were packing up. And one of the greatest griefs that Megan and Erastu experience is that as we are leaving up the hill, up the road from the refugee camp, are all these other refugee families who are hurrying, some running up the road to seize a bag. But they'd heard the news too late and they'd missed out. Now, there was one particular family who was a lady who arrived, wait for this, in her dressing gown. And she had with her her husband, who had this tiny little baby, about 2 months old, that he was carrying, and two other small children. And she was absolutely devastated because she had missed out on a food bag. And so Megan was, she said, Erastu, I can't leave without helping this woman. We have to help this family. And Megan was so moved that she quietly said to this family, through Erastu, through speaking Farsi, meet us at the little deli down the road and we will buy you some food for your family. But she couldn't let all the other people hear because then, of course, they would have gone too and they weren't able to do it for everybody. Now, the reason why, apart from this lady having her dressing gown on, which told us that that's all she had, was that the mother, obviously having just got a new baby, was quite spaced out. And we wondered if maybe she could have been suffering from postnatal depression or at the very least exhaustion because she just didn't seem present. And because I, as many of you know, went through postnatal depression myself, I had a bit of a radar for that. And I was very concerned about this lady because they don't have access to medication. And so we went down to the little deli down the road, very, very discreetly, quietly, met this family there, and Megan took her around and said, tell me what you would like and we will buy that for you, which was just wonderful. She was just so delighted. Now, fast forward, on Friday night I was talking to Megan and I was actually asking about this lady because she was so much had affected me and I was just so concerned about her. And Megan was telling me that they had purposely purchased a coat, a very warm coat for this lady. And she had come up to the clearing where they bought the van and the food and they gave her this coat. And the look on her face was of such joy that she immediately, straight away, took off her dressing gown, put on her new coat and was so over the moon to receive the warmth of both body and heart. So, are you still with me?
Yeah.
Good. The next week, I was with the Yazdanis. There was a big clothes run being planned. So, Megan and Erasto had received several donations of clothes from people in their church, and along with theirs, their own clothes and their children's clothes, Ella and Ezra's, they were working towards doing this big clothes run because it was winter there in Greece. It had snowed and it was freezing. And a lot of the people in the refugee camp didn't have any remotely adequate enough clothing for that freezing weather. And so what they also did was they used donations that they had received to helpers. And they went out and they went to a place called Jumbo. And Jumbo is a Red Dot type store. And they went out, they purchased gloves, they purchased warm socks, they purchased beanies. And they had some people in the church who were working with them who went to a secondhand store and bought all of these big coats because a lot of the men were so concerned about their families that they had gone without and they were actually freezing. And so it was my privilege while I was there to be able to play a very small part in helping them sort through all the donations and categorise them into all different, we had containers that we put them all in. Now, here's a photo. Thanks, Ernest. Here's a photo of Megan and I. We had just loaded the car ready for the clothes run. You can see how cold it is from the way that we are dressed. And they had a team of five others going with them from their church to help with this distribution of clothes. And because Ella and Ezra were very sick with gastro at this point, I offered to stay home so that Megan and Erastu could pour all their energy, all their attention into making this a really successful trip and a really successful project, making sure that it was fair and that each person had an opportunity to at least get one or two items. All right, so if you have a look, yeah, thank you, Ernest. You can see that we've categorised all of the different, like, sizes for children, sizes for babies, sizes for adults, and that's what you're seeing there on that photo. And the next photo is the beautiful refugees, all very, very excited, coming to find what they need from this clothes run. And the wonderful thing when they came back from the run, which was several hours, they said that what impacted them the most was that every person was coming up to them, thanking them, so grateful, so appreciative. And it's important to note that Erastu is from an Iranian background, and although he was raised in Perth from the age of two, he can speak basic Farsi. And this has been one of the greatest advantages, is that in communicating and connecting with many in the camp that also speak Farsi. And if we look at the tapestry of Megan and Erastu's life, Megan met Erastu at Perth Christian Life Centre when he came in on drugs and got saved in one of our services. She got to know him through youth group and ended up falling in love and marrying. Think about the tapestry of this. She didn't know then that she was marrying a guy who could speak Farsi, and that 10 years later or 12 years later, when they went to obey the calling on their life, that Erastu was going to be a huge key in what they were doing. Can you see the tapestry? Can you see the connection? Can you see God's handiwork? It's so, so cool. Megan and Erastu have been told that when refugees hear within the camp and the word goes out amongst them that they're coming with the food bags, the refugees are talking and networking, and they're going, the Christians are coming. The Christians are coming today. For them, that is one of the most fulfilling words that they could hear about their calling to Athens. So what I've tried to do this morning is to give you a snapshot, just a glimpse of the ministry of our missionaries working amongst the refugees in Athens. But what I haven't touched on is the personal challenges that they have faced in answering the call on their lives. Because these challenges, in many regards, have been the very steep learning curve that they have tried to navigate. A new language, a completely different culture. For example, finding accommodation has been an area of huge difficulty, primarily because of the cost of living in Athens. But also finding an international school close enough to where they live so Ella could cope in the formative years of her education. Initially, they put her into a Greek-speaking kindy, and she was very lonely there. And so they needed to find somewhere where she could connect with other children. It was a big enough thing to take her at 4 years of age to another country. Then, of course, they had the challenge of international school fees. And so when you do something like this, it's not just you, but the splash is enormous. And so what happened was Megan and Erastu's parents, Kerry and Tony McCubbin, and Ben and Kian Yazdani have hugely financially contributed to helping them with these costs. They haven't just looked to the church or whatever. Their own family have come alongside them and said, hey, we're with you. We're holding up your arms. Now, during the time that I was there, a very severe gastro swept through the family. And you could say, wow, happy holidays, Bethwyn. Welcome to a house full of gastro. Or if you want to look at it from a different angle, you could say, I'm so glad I was there to support them while they went through this terrible gastro, of which they shared with me too. After I left, Ella continued to be very unwell and ended up contracting pneumonia. We were all extremely worried. And so the call that they have answered to go and do what they're doing, there's been a cost. And it's not the actual work, it's not about what they're actually going out and doing with the refugees, it's the challenge of the cost, personal cost to them. And I've just touched on these problems very briefly so that you can see the grassroots of being a missionary and what it really looks like. But I want to tell you that one of the greatest encouragements for Megan and Erastu was the support and generosity of Real Life Church. And so many times they have received support from us that has enabled them to do different projects to a much wider scale. And they particularly today, when they knew that I would be talking to you, wanted me to extend their thanks to each one of you for your prayers and financial support. And without mentioning any names, on the Sunday before I left for Athens, one of our champions here at Real Life Church came up to me and said, "Oh, can I just talk to you, Bethwyn?" And I said, "Yeah, sure." And unbeknownst to me, he wanted the details of how to send some money to Megan and Erastu. I didn't know how much it was going to be. That was none of my business. But when I arrive in Athens, I find that this encouraging contribution was actually $800. Now, at exactly the same time, one of their monthly supporters had lost his job and had to withdraw his support, and the money that they received was going to make up what they were losing. I'm quite sure that gentleman didn't understand the part he was playing, yeah, in what he did, because then Erastu said, "Do you know, I've just realised that the money from Real Life has actually has compensated for what we've lost." Yeah? Isn't that... Oh, don't you love that, Ian, when that happens? And I just want to thank you on their behalf and thank you on my behalf. Now, I don't want you to feel in any way sorry for Megan and Erastu, because from a very young age, Megan has always had a real spirit of adventure. And despite the difficulties that they as a family have faced during their time in Greece, they have loved every minute of it. And Megan said, "I am loving what we're doing. I've never felt more fulfilled." Yeah? So please know that there's joy in your calling. Yeah? There's joy, absolute joy. So I want to show you a photo. Ernest, if you could do photo 7, please. This is a picture of myself and the family going to Mars Hill, a very incredibly famous hill where the Apostle Paul preached. Many of you would be familiar. And while we were up here on the hill, Erastu and I shared a very special and wonderful God moment together. We were just chatting. It was the second last day. We went to Mars Hill as one of the kind of things before I left. Everyone was feeling a little bit better. And we're up there. And Ernest, I'm going to ask you to play what happened, please. Yeah, it's one of those things, you had to be there. Erastu said, "This is so good what you're saying." And he turns on his phone. He said, "I want to capture this moment." And all I can say is when we got up onto that hill, there was like a buzzing sound. And as I listened and took it in, I realised it was the hum of people all speaking to each other in their own language. And that aha moment came from that experience. For me, I can describe it like a light bulb moment where I got a glimpse, just a glimpse of God's love and devotion for every tribe and tongue and nation and culture, and how eternally and deeply he was invested, and why he sent his very own son to pay and die a cruel death for your sin and for my sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." And right now, I want to capture this moment. Would you close your eyes? Bow your heads. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only Son for you and for me. And this morning, you may have been sitting in this room. Maybe you don't even know God. But as I've been sharing about what happened in Athens and about the calling and the heart that happens when Jesus captures our heart and lives inside of us. And I want to not go a moment further without giving every person in the room the opportunity, if you haven't already, to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Saviour. And so as you've been sitting there, you may feel, I want that Jesus inside of me. I want that same purpose and calling that Bethwyn's been describing. If you are such a one who would like to give their heart to Jesus this morning, would you just raise your hand nice and high and say, "Yep, that's me." Is there anybody here who would like to do that this morning, who has never ever given their heart to Jesus? Nice and high. Wonderful. Thank you. I see that hand. And I'm going to ask Anna Marie if you would just respond to that. That would be wonderful. Can we all say this prayer together to help this person who has responded? Dear Lord Jesus, please forgive me of all my sins. I invite you into my heart and into my life to be my Lord and Saviour. In Jesus' name, amen. Wonderful. Can we give that person a real encouraging hand? Real Life Church, you and I have been invited by the heart of our Father God to be Jesus to many of those broken, lost people that come along our path. Will you stand with me this morning as I read this one last time? Many people will meet Jesus for the very first time through you and me before they ever step foot into a church. Shine brightly. Stay salty. And don't embarrass the family. I wonder this morning if you'd like to come out, and just anyone that feels that they would like to come and stand with me, if you just want to make a real fresh commitment to be salt and light, to be Jesus to those that you meet, to shine brightly and to stay strong and salty. Is there anyone that just wants to come out as I just pray for us all? Come on. I'm loving all these salty people. Amen. Come on, keep coming. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Wonderful. Let's lift our hands high to heaven. Father, this morning, I ask that your power would touch every heart in this room today. And that our lights would shine brighter than they ever have before. That your unconditional love would permeate through us to those we encounter in our everyday journey. And that in the coming year we would see a deluge of souls come to Jesus through our light. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.